The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Did you ever see the movie The Blob, starring Steve McQueen?
The blood-curdling threat of The Blob.
Well, way back when, Eric had a small part in that film, but they had to cut his scene because The Blob was supposed to eat him, but he kept spitting him out. Oh, the whole thing was just a disaster. Anyway, here's the guy who's not always that easy to digest, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. I gotta say, I cannot help but be excited because today is the day. Finally, you wait and wait and wait for months and months and months, and then the day comes. Today is the day. My new book comes out. It's called Religionless Christianity. I may have a copy right here. Oh, wait, look, you can't even see it. This is
congratulations,
like-
Eric. Congratulations. What do people do when, you know, I've never written a book, but like, is there a cupcake or do you get a free cone at Baskin Robbins if your book launches today? How does it work?
Here's the bad news. You get Jack. No, actually, when your book comes out, I want to be really clear that the publisher, they always tell you that the first day or so is very, very important. And so you want to, if anybody's planning on buying it, I always say, please buy it the day of the launch. That would be today. And I think I can show a copy of the book right now. Let me see. Is this going to work? Yeah, not really. Look at this. It's like a weird blurred background. So can't. There we go.
It's a little blurred. It's like your book was an FBI informant. You know, it doesn't want to be seen there.
Look, why can you see me but not the book? It's wild.
It doesn't matter. The magic of Zoom.
Well, a couple of important announcements. That's number one, but related to it. So the book is Religionless Christianity. Today is the day. It's called God's Answer, Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. In hour two, I'm going to replay my conversation with Albin Sadar. Albin interviewed me about the book. This is before he'd read the book. He has now read the book. And he retracts everything he said in this thing you're going to hear in an hour. No, actually, he's now read the book and he's made all these notes. So he wants to kind of come back and ask me about stuff in the book. But before I talk about the book, I want to say that. So in hour two, we'll be talking about the book with Albin. In hour one, we're going to be talking about the news of the day. We're going to be talking about Speaker Johnson's unbelievable failure. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about what's going on at Columbia University, which brings me to the news right now. I want to say this really clearly. My friend Sean Foyt contacted me. He said, what's going on at Columbia University? The rampant anti-Semitism. I mean, it's so sick. He said this needs a response. And so he will be in New York this Thursday, 2 days from now. It starts at 6:30 p.m. I will be there. Sean Foyt will be there. My friend David Engelhart will be there. Pastor Mike Signorelli. I'm not sure who else, what other churches will be there. But anybody who wants to stand with Israel, you don't need to be a Christian. Anyone that wants to stand with Israel, join us this Thursday at Columbia University. That is basically 116th and Broadway, or what's the street on the other side of Columbia? I think we're going to start on the other side of Columbia, but it is, it's going to be 6:30. We're going to do a prayer march, you know, and we're going to show solidarity. solidarity, standing with Israel and standing with the Jews, because this is a moment, folks. Did we ever think that universities would block Jews from entering the university? Like, this is right out of Bonhoeffer. This is what happened in the early 30s in Berlin around Germany. It's happening now at our elite institutions. So it is absolutely evil and sick. We need to stand against it. So that's this Thursday, which is to say the 25th, Thursday, April 25th at Columbia University. I know lots of folks who listen to this can't get there, but you know people in the New York area. You know folks in churches in the New York area, in Jersey. Please join us. A massive show of support. We'll send a message. We need to send this message. By the way, Chris, I don't know if you know, but Passover has just started. This is exciting to me that right
Happy
now
Passover. Yes, I did know.
It's just started. And it's a funny thing because I realized that there in my book, Religionless Christianity, what I'm trying to do is differentiate between mere religion, including Christian religion. That's not actual Christianity. It's not worshiping Jesus. It's just religion. It's just going through the motions. There are a lot of people who think that they're Christians who really are just being religious. And that's what the devil wants, if I can say that. That's an interesting concept, right? Because people think, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, that's why I wrote the book, because I have this idea that a lot of people don't understand this, and they're getting it wrong, and they're going through these religious motions. What I think accounts for the silence of many of the churches on a lot of the issues around us is this idea that, oh, we just need to do church. We just need to be religious. So I'm kind of trying to make that clear. Bonhoeffer wrote his famous book, The Cost of Discipleship. He makes it clear in certain ways. I try to do the same in my book, and I try to talk about what are the religious idols of today that we are worshiping in place of Jesus. So it's a kind of a dramatic thing, really, to think that maybe we're worshiping religious idols. We can repent of that. That's the good news, is that God wants us to realize what we're doing, to repent, and to throw away these worthless idols of religiosity. And in a funny way, I think that this brings us to Speaker Johnson and others. There are many people who identify publicly as Christians, but their behavior is puzzling. And that's where I think sometimes people mistake worshiping an idol of dead religion for actually worshiping Jesus with their whole being. And I think that they don't realize it in most cases. They simply don't realize it. The Germans who were worshiping in churches as Hitler rose to power didn't realize that they had a job to do. They thought, my job is to go to church, to say I'm a Christian, to do these religious things. And God says, no, I have much more for you. In fact, if you do those things without doing what I've called you to do, it's grievous to me. And so I think we're at a time right now, it's a time where we're seeing the division between religiosity, between dead religion, and actually living out your faith. And it ultimately comes to a question of truth versus lies. So I kind of think that that's a lot of what I write about in the book. I also, there's a couple of chapters in the book on cancel culture. When you partake of cancel culture, even when you think you're on the right side, I noticed this with Alec Baldwin recently, like people hate him so much, they're happy for him to be accused of being a murderer, even though he didn't murder anyone, but they don't care. They're just happy to see somebody get Alec Baldwin because they disagree with him on many things, as do I. That's the spirit of cancel culture. We are to stand with what is true no matter what. And we're to stand with people who are being persecuted and attacked no matter what. We don't have to agree with them on most things, but it's the spirit of cancel culture that we're to stand against. And, you know, obviously to really understand that, I hope you'll read my book, Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil, because this is very, very important. We're going to be talking about this a lot in the weeks and months ahead, because this to me is at the heart of where we are and at the heart of the parallels between the failed German church of the 30s and the failed American church of today. I believe God is trying to wake us up so we don't make these mistakes. All right. So finally, if you can get a copy of my book today, go to my website. That's the best place to buy it. There's, I think you, if you get it through my website, you can get it really cheap. You can even get autographed copies. I think still today, very, very cheap. But I ask you to do that today, please. Religionless Christianity is the title of the book. My name is Eric Metaxas. EricMetaxas.com is the website. We've got lots of great stuff today. We've got Albin, and we'll be talking about the news of the day, either with John Smirak or someone to be named later. Thank you.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me, make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. Legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey, folks, as I threatened you just a few moments ago, I have my friend John Smirak on today. John, welcome back.
Hi, Eric. How you doing?
I'm okay. We're talking. I want to talk to you about the news of the day. The news of the day. There's several places we can go. All of them are pleasant.
Yeah.
Speaker Johnson. I'm going to now tie everything back to my new book, Religionless Christianity, because it seems to me that there are people who identify as Christians. I could think of Mike Pence, or I could think of Speaker Johnson, and they somehow fail to do what it seems to me necessary to do. And in a way, the way I look at it is that they're being religious. They don't seem to understand that you can be religious in a negative sense, where you're doing all this kind of, you come across as this pious Christian, but somehow when the chips are down, push comes to shove, you don't do the thing that you need to do. And the classic case is the Christians in Germany, who they went to their services and they believed in this and they believed in that. But when God asked them to speak up boldly in defense of the Jews, they said, we're going to take a pass on that. We have difference of opinion on that. That's kind of what I see happening right now. I can't understand how somebody like Speaker Mike Johnson could behave as he does and talk about his Christian faith. I just don't get it. I don't know what to say.
Well, Eric, I mean, on the whole issue of religion, you know, using the term religion, I know in some evangelical circles, religion is has a negative meaning. It's meant as like legalism and as a replacement for like having a personal relationship with God. I've learned that from associating with very good people like that. I always think of the people who come up to you and say, "Man, I'm spiritual, not religious." And my response to those people was always, "Really? I'm religious, but not spiritual." You know, like the Pharisees. I would just say that in order to stop a tedious conversation with a stoner. So I have to get past that very clever quip of my own invention to appreciate the title of your book. Mike Pence and Speaker Johnson are the Dylan Mulvaneys of Christianity. They have the makeup, they have the pearls, they have the dress. They just lack the basic equipment, the central functioning parts.
John, as often happens, I got to stop you there. That's so beautiful. I don't want to just keep running off into the weeds here. That what you just said is a brilliant tweet. That line, what you just said, is so brilliant. It captures everything. And I think that, let me ask you, is that line, what you just said about them being the Dylan Mulvaneys that are lacking the necessary equipment, is that in one of the articles that you've written? Because it needs to be, sir.
Oh, I just came up with that just now.
I thought so. See, that's why I interrupted you, because that phrase, I want to go stop, clip it.
Yeah.
Paste it.
I will. Maybe it'll be a whole
beautiful, beautiful summation of where we are right now. And listen, I want to be clear to my audience, okay? I'm not trying to demonize Mike Pence or Speaker Johnson, okay?
But I am.
But what I'm trying to say is, I'm speaking mainly about Speaker Johnson, but his behavior is abominable, and we need to call it out. And that's why I'm talking about it, because people say, well, he's a Christian. I don't care. Jimmy Carter was a Christian. He taught Sunday school. He believes in the resurrection of Jesus. That's great. But if as a politician, you are a rank failure, your Christian faith doesn't matter to me. So what you just said, John, keep going.
Eric, Judas was a Christian. In fact, he was one of the first bishops of the Catholic Church, in my view. And by the way, the one who set the precedent for most of the ones we have today. Judas was a bishop and a priest and a Christian and an apostle. I've got a piece of the stream that I hope people will go read. It's all about Mike Johnson. It's called "Ukraine First, Speaker Johnson Forgets American Freedom and Uselessly Risks a World War." Mike Johnson has given up all leverage on defending our border. He has endorsed warrantless surveillance of American citizens. He has done nothing to rein in the FBI. They are infiltrating our churches with agents looking to promote, to find people they can label as domestic terrorists. What is Johnson doing? Building them a shiny new headquarters. Every single issue he promised to act on, he has betrayed us. He is absolutely and utterly useless. A waste of a lot of DNA, 97% of which could have made a perfectly good chimpanzee. But no, it has been wasted on this pile of like denim.
It's okay. Just the word pile is sufficient.
Oh, like denim and khakis and smiles and eyeglasses.
John, when people say that, they'll say this sometimes about certain Democrats, like, oh, he goes to the Senate Bible study or he goes to the Congressional Bible study. To me, that makes it worse.
Oh, absolutely.
If you didn't go to the Bible study, I could maybe understand why you would behave this way. If you go to the Bible study, if you read the Bible, if you talk about your faith, how is it possible that you can throw the fundamental principles of your faith under the bus? And what I often say is that I see this often in the evangelical world. They focus so much on faith and theology that they forget if you don't put it into action, there is no faith. If you don't put it into action, your theology is the devil's theology. And that, I mean, that's behind my term religionless Christianity, because Bonhoeffer saw an entire German nation not act out its faith. They were merely religious. They were playing church. They were not being the church. And that's the only explanation I have for people like Speaker Mike Johnson.
They were taking faith along to entirely the wrong extreme.
Think about it. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's not because, look, I want to be clear. It's not faith. It's fake faith. It's just like cheap grace is not actual grace. This is fake faith. And you know what? Christians, evangelicals are always talking about works being useless, right? They say your works are like filthy rags. They're quoting scripture. So they act as though all works are useless. No, no, no. If your work is done, in other words, if I'm giving money to some charitable cause so that my name will be in lights, not to honor God, but to honor myself, God sees it for what it is. But that doesn't mean we're not called to live out our faith in the right way.
Eric, I think I can. Cain and Abel each offered a sacrifice to God. Cain did it in the wrong spirit, so his sacrifice was worthless. That doesn't mean Abel's sacrifice was worthless and that all sacrifices are worthless, regardless of the spirit in which they're offered. So you see what I mean?
Cain and Abel, is that a story from Lord of the Rings? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, this is actually from one of the books of the Bible your people did not throw out. Cain offered a sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice. God rejected one of them. That doesn't. So you don't then look, God rejected the sacrifice of Cain. You should never make sacrifices. Oh, wait, excuse me. He accepted Abel's sacrifice. So maybe the thing is not that not all works, not all sacrifices are worthless, just the ones that are done in the wrong spirit. Look, when people say, oh, he's a good Christian, I think of Joe Biden claims to be a devout Catholic. And to my answer to that is, if that were Catholicism, if that were Christianity, I would persecute it myself. I would go full Diocletian on Christianity if it were what Mike Johnson represents it to be.
Well, look.
I would feed him to the lions, except the poor lions would get sick. I think they deserve a healthier diet.
That's not fair to the lions. Let's be honest.
It's not. Okay?
They're God's creatures.
They are.
But listen, I think honestly, this is a clarifying moment for Christians in America. Anybody who thinks that it's the theology of the politician that I care about, ladies and gentlemen, theology without works, faith without works is dead. So when somebody claims to be a Christian, you need to wonder, are they living out their faith? And frankly, I would rather take a pagan patriot doing the right thing, honoring God, whether they know God or not, by doing the right thing, by speaking truthfully, by being brave and bold and self-sacrificial for right principles, because that's what they're there for. And we've had many, many examples. Many Christians did not vote for Donald Trump because they say, well, I don't know where he is theologically. He doesn't act like a Christian. He doesn't talk like a Christian. Well, his actions have been dramatically in line with what people of faith care about, what patriotic Americans care about. So, you know, how he feels about the filioque clause or that kind of thing, I don't really think it's dispositive.
Eric, there's a famous...
Oh, John, I'm sorry. I filibustered. We'll be right back talking to John Smirak.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's N-U-T-R-A Nutrimedix.com, Nutrimedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutrimedix, Nutrimedix.com, Nutrimedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back, folks. Talking to John Zmirak. John, what's on your mind?
Eric, to illustrate your point, there's a famous anecdote in a classic religious work by a major world religious leader. I think his name was Jesus. He might have been Puerto Rican. He told the story about the Good Samaritan. Okay, you have a man is robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. You have a priest goes by, crosses the road not to touch him. He doesn't want to get ritually impure by touching blood. A Levite from the priestly nation sees him and walks away so as not to touch him. Who comes over and say and helps him? A Samaritan. Now, let's remember, Samaritans were considered heretics. The Jews to whom Jesus was talking hated the Samaritans, hated them more than the Romans, viewed them as the enemy. They thought they were unsaved. They worshipped at the wrong temple. They were rivals to the Jews. They each claimed that they were the true Jewish religion. So the Good Samaritan should really be retitled the Good Heretic. The Good Heretic. So who does Jesus praise in that story? Not the theologically orthodox priest, not the honored member of the Levite family, but the heretic who did the right thing. I guess Jesus was wrong. He was praising works righteousness.
Okay, see, this is beautiful, John. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope we get some hate mail on this one, because look at the principle. The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, Jesus praises him. Now, how could Jesus praise somebody unless he approves of this person? What he is saying is you worship God with your actions. I don't care about what you say. I will know what you really believe in your heart by how you behave. So no, you're not saved by your works, but you prove your faith, or you show what your faith is in by how you behave. And this is an amazing thing. And so all these people, whether it's Mike Johnson or Mike Pence or you name it, there are many out there that they say they're Christians, but their behavior is not consonant with worshiping Jesus in many cases. And again, I'm not saying in every case, but there are times when they don't seem to understand what their job is, what their faith would call them to do. And John, you know, and this is, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but in the book Religionless Christianity, I talk about religious idols. One of them is the idol of winsomeness, right? This idea that being somehow seeming pious and gentlemanly and kind is like a law. I can't be a warrior against evil. I always have to be sort of piously nodding. That becomes a religious idol, that my religious confreres will praise me for being, you know, so non-combative, when it was God calling me to go to war with evil.
See, I talk about white guilt sunblock, which Baptists and Catholics smear all over their skin in an attempt to pass for Episcopalians. That is, winsomeness is 100% about social mobility. It's about moving on up to the east side and getting a deluxe apartment in the Skahahai. It is all about proving that you are smarter than your redneck parents, more sophisticated than those awful people from your neighborhood, that you will someday be invited by Krista Tippett to appear on her NPR show. And your books might be reviewed favorably in the Washington Post. It is on 100% that. When I saw Peggy Noonan's latest blast against Donald Trump on Twitter, I wrote, there's nothing sadder than a shanty Irish trying to pass as Episcopalian.
Ouch. Are you serious? Peggy Noonan said something recently against Trump?
Like a couple of months ago, but this quip was so good, it has haunted me in my own mind. I've been wanting to share that quip. Gosh. Because my mother was shanty Irish, but she wasn't trying to pass for anything else. She knew what she was, and she was proud of it. And I say, be proud. Embrace your blue-collar origins, because trying to hide them, that white guilt sunblock also reduces your testosterone count to almost zero, which I think we can see.
Speaking, since you bring up the race issue, one of the most horrible things that I've seen recently, because what Speaker Johnson has done in terms of putting forward these bills so that he's praised, folks, listen, praised by CNN, praised by Joe Biden. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about Speaker Mike Johnson, right? Well, he then was interviewed by Walter Isaacson, which is strike three right there. And he asked him about what he thought of the George Floyd riots and stuff. And he said there was no doubt that George Floyd was murdered. This is Speaker Mike Johnson said that. He then said that they have an adopted kid who's black. They've got a 14-year-old black kid and a 14-year-old white kid. And he said he had no doubt that his black son would have it much, much harder simply because of the color of his skin. Now, that's a lie. It is fundamentally untrue.
Which one of them is going to get into Harvard with the same SAT scores?
Exactly. Like, the whole thing is kind of crazy that he says this. Then, but I mean, if you want to know what kind of an evangelical Christian he is, right? Then he is asked, what can we do about this? And he says, we need systemic change. We need systemic change. I thought, do you need to hear much else? This is very, very bad news. We're going to a break, folks. I'm talking to John Zmirak. Let me remind you, today is the day that my new book is out officially today, Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. Go to ericmetaxas.com and get a copy, ericmetaxas.com. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, today is the day that my book, Religionless Christianity, comes out. It's called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. In it, I try to explain how we substitute worshiping religious idols for actually worshiping Jesus. John Zmirak, we've been talking about this. You wrote an article about Speaker Johnson, and I don't know where to begin. I got to be honest and say sometimes I'm really baffled. Oh. It is hard for me not to be baffled by his behavior in linking arms with the Democrats and enabling them to pass these monstrous, horrifying bills instead of standing bravely against the garbage that they've been pushing down our throat. He's been praised by CNN. He's been praised by the Biden White House. It's pretty awful.
Yeah, he already has his reward. He's going to find out the way Ronald McDaniel found out that check for 30 pieces of silver will actually bounce when he tries to cash it. So that mess of pottage, it actually was made with Velveeta and plant-based meat substitute. Enjoy it.
Look, but this is what's so funny, because you see this over and over again. They think that Mike Pence did it when he doubled down and said that he didn't just do the wrong thing on January 6th. He doubled down and said that Trump asked him to choose between Donald Trump and the Constitution. And he thought that all of the moderate Republicans would come out of the woodwork and everybody to lift him up as a messiah. And in fact, he didn't get 1% of the vote in the primaries. I mean,
Pence is like in Dante's Inferno. There's one class of sinner who are too worthless even to be admitted to hell. It's the circle of the trimmers, the cowards, the opportunists, the spineless, worthless, almost subhuman creatures who could never make any decisions at all. And they are actually floating around in a sewage drainage ditch outside of hell, unworthy even to enter hell.
Wait a minute. This is in Dante and I missed it.
It is called the circle of the trimmers. It is like a sewage ditch outside of hell where the people who were just too hot, neither hot nor cold, even hell spat them out of its mouth. And that's where the moderate Republicans and the mainstream Republicans are. I want to talk about the specifics in my piece,
please,
because we could spend all day talking about personalities. What corrupts people on this issue is the pretense that Ukraine, we are fighting for freedom against the Soviet menace. That if we don't stand up to Putin and continue this useless, miserable war that's slaughtering Christian Ukrainians for no good purpose, that if we don't do that, we are literally appeasing Hitler. To these people, it is always October 1938 in Munich. Always. We could not appease Saddam Hussein. We could not appease Manuel Noriega in Panama. We cannot appease Assad in Iraq. I mean, they are wearing out the Hitler key. They have played the Hitler card so much, you can't even read what's on it. It could be the Joker card. They play the Hitler card every time. I want to point out, sometimes it's not October 1938 in Munich. Sometimes it's August 1914 in Sarajevo, and you have clueless politicians stumbling into a civilization-ending war that will kill millions of people for no good reason, just because they're corrupt. Politicians like Nikki Haley, who was almost bankrupt when she finished her job at the UN. She didn't have any money. Suddenly, she goes to work for Boeing, a defense contractor. She's a multimillionaire, and she's a big cheerleader for war in Ukraine. In my piece at stream.org, which is illustrated with Joe Biden, Kaiser Wilhelm, Nicholas II, and Franz Josef, who started World War I, I talk about, I was giving a talk at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. And during the mocktail hour, because of course there was nothing but iced tea, but I soldiered through the mocktail hour, and I'm talking to this D.C. neoconservative. And he's talking about how we have to fight Putin. We have to fight him in Ukraine so that we don't have to fight him in Poland, so that we don't have to fight him in Germany. And it's essential. And I said, wait. The Democrats are spying on our homes, infiltrating our churches, taking our kids away because we won't use transgender pronouns. And you're worried about Ukraine keeping its sacred 1991 borders and fighting for that. Let me just be clear to you. If Russia occupied all of Europe from the Orkneys to Malta, from Kiev to Gibraltar, if Russian troops occupied all of Europe, it would not be as bad as one nuclear weapon hitting one American city, much less as bad as our government persecuting us and imposing a totalitarian government right here at home. And the look on his face.
John, when was this? I mean, when did you give this talk at the Museum of the Bible, and when did you have this conversation? It's probably a while ago.
I think it was December 2022. I was giving a talk on Christian nationalism. I was on the same panel with Michelle Bachmann, talking about how Christian nationalism was a myth, a dog whistle made up by the left to raise money from scared old people and to shake them down for the Southern Poverty Law Center. But I want to point out, Putin is not Hitler. Ukraine is not Czechoslovakia. We are not facing a totalitarian enemy that wants to conquer the world. We are, but it's based in Washington, D.C., and it has a secret police. It's called the FBI. We already are under something every bit as bad as Putin's government in Russia. I want to be clear. Joe Biden is as bad as Vladimir Putin, except he's here and he's after us. And the idea that we should be fighting Putin over Ukraine rather than fighting Biden and his FBI and his CIA and his censorship of the media, it is insane. It is pitiful. It's like watching someone lure a dog with a little piece of meat into the gas chamber where the dog is going to be euthanized. It's just sad at this point.
John, you need to write an article where you say that Biden is worse than Putin, because that, honestly, you've summed it up again beautifully. We're going to a break talking to John Zmierich. Don't forget, today is the day my book, Religionless Christianity, comes out officially. Please go to ericmetaxas.com. Get a copy today. It's the sequel to Letter to the American Church. I'm talking to John Zmierich. John Zmierich, what else?
Well, Eric, you have a book launching today, and I actually have a copy. And to honor the launch of your book, I'm going to read it today. This is another of your books that I can read in one day that I know took you at least 3 or 4 days to write. And I'm really looking forward to it. Despite the title, I have to say, when I saw the title, Religionless Christianity, I thought, okay, fire that editor at that publishing house.
It's meant to be provocative. It is a Bonhoeffer phrase. And unless you really understand what Bonhoeffer meant by it, you can't understand it. But it's right. That's why
it's a confusing title. It's a great book. I'm sure it's a great book. And I speak objectively because I haven't read it yet. So I can be disinterested and say that it's an excellent book, because I know the author is excellent. And I'm looking forward to reading it. And I think everybody should read it. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about idolatry. You're talking about those of us who have turned Christianity into a lifestyle accessory. It's like mellow background music. It's like putting Gregorian chant on as your background music on Pandora and thinking that's enough for my Sunday obligation. I've worshiped God. I've put Gregorian chant on Pandora, and I'm listening to it while I play a video game. It is Christianity as furniture, as ornament. It's like what Caiaphas and Annas and the high priest, the Sadducees did in the New Testament times. I like to point out to people love to accuse those of us who are really trying to live our faith and really concerned about public morality and about the well-being of our neighbors, like our unborn neighbors or our neighbors who are overwhelmed by illegal immigration or threatened by crime, our Jewish neighbors who are persecuted by Islamic hate. They call us Pharisees. And what I like to point out is in the New Testament, Jesus preached to the Pharisees because some of them were sincere and some of them were trying. The group he did not preach to were the high priests, the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the ones who ordered Jesus crucified. People like Caiaphas, they were liberals. They were theological liberals. They did not believe in life after death. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did not believe in large parts of the Jewish scripture. And they were cooperating with Caesar and his pagan government. They were puppets of Caesar. They were collaborationists. They were like the Vichy French, collaborating with the occupying pagan enemy. So liberal Christians, what they call regime Christians, the David Frenches and Russell Moores of this world, they are the Sadducees. They are King Herod. And if you remember, Jesus preached to the Pharisees. Sometimes he was quite harsh with them, but he actually converted some of them. Jesus would not even speak a word to King Herod. He wasn't even worthy of a word.
So the Christians who are merely religious, who are not really living out their faith, you said that they are, you mentioned Russell Moore, David French, there you said earlier, the Dylan Mulvaneys of the Christian faith.
Right. They have the pearls. They have the dress. They have everything except the central equipment that serves a purpose.
The central equipment, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand?
The womb, the generating womb that creates new life. The whole point of male and female is, I hate to break the news to people, making babies and carrying on the human race. People seem to have forgotten that part, which is why the birth rate everywhere, all around the world, is collapsing. And I have to say, Eric, I'm not in love with the human race at the moment. They're not building any nice Art Deco buildings. They're not producing any good classical music. All the things I care about in humanity seem to be vanishing. But I do not want to see the human race disappear for one very important reason. Who's going to take care of the dogs? The dogs depend on us. The dogs need us, so we have to replicate the human race. And that's my message.
There. Thank you, John Zmirak. Folks, today, go to ericmetaxas.com. Get a copy of my new book today, please. Thank you very much, John Zmirak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.